Hello and welcome again to another verse-by-verse Bible teaching exposition. This is the ministry of the Washing Word, which is the hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And the hand car washing business exists so that we can bring these verse-by-verse Bible teachings to you free of charge. You can listen to them by going to the website at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word. .com, and there you can find out all the information about the business and the ministry. And if you have any questions, call 423-920-0913. I'll give that phone number again at the end of the message. Okay, let us get back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We are in the very interesting book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is just sort of winding his way through the different routes in this, basically this maze that he's creating for himself. And he's exploring these paths, thinking that it's the way out, only to come to a dead end. And each time he takes a different avenue to find the proverbial meaning of life, he finds that it's a futile endeavor. That is, he gets to the end of his searching, or the end of his whatever it is he's, you know, inquiring of, and he dumps money and resources, and he gets to the end of it, and he realizes, well, this isn't the answer either. And so, again, not to rehash, because he's gone through quite a few routes, as it were, up to this point where we're about to begin, which is chapter 5. But again, you go to washandword.com, and you can download or listen to all the archive messages for free. Now, in chapter 5, we're going to see a sort of response to some of the things that he's been going over in chapter 4. And we're going to cover them as we go through chapter 5, because he's kind of answering his own questions in a way. And one of the big, I won't call it a hot topic, but certainly one of the topics that a lot of people are talking about these days is peace. You know, you can see it in a lot of different places in the world where peace is eluded. You know, you think of the Gaza Strip and places like that where it's just a constant battle. But everyone likes to talk about peace. You know, they want to talk about having peace, or being at peace with each other, and, you know, living in peace. Even Christians, we like to talk about the peace of God, or the peace of God that transcends all understanding, and that kind of thing. I mean, peace is everywhere. But peace, and we kind of miss this a lot, but peace is often the byproduct of proper behavior and attitude when approaching God. Let that sink in for a minute, and I'll repeat it. But true peace, or peace that is lasting, is often the byproduct of having a proper attitude and exhibiting proper behavior when we approach God. Now, when it comes to approaching God, there are several examples in the Bible. If I were to say to you that, hey, tomorrow at the Washing Word, come on by, I don't know, The Rock is going to be here, or Tom Brady is going to be here, or, you know, some superstar, somebody famous, and you were going to come by to meet that person, you would probably get yourself dressed up a little bit. You'd clean up. You certainly, you know, would do what you can to make yourself presentable to this star. And again, we have so many biblical examples of people approaching God in right ways and wrong ways. Of course, when I think of a wrong way of approaching God, my first thought is Nadab and Abihu, who were killed because they were offering, if you remember Leviticus, a strange fire, or an unauthorized fire to the Lord. It was an unworthy sacrifice, and they were put to death. We know of the men who tried to steady the ark, which is in a way going before God, and they did it irreverently, and they were put to death. And then, of course, there's Job, who approached God in a confrontational manner, and then God, of course, put him in his place and said, you know, where were you when I stopped the seas and formed the earth? And, you know, God goes on and on to put Job in his place. And then there's, you know, there's the less offensive ways of approaching God, where Moses would go to God several times, and you know, he would ask maybe that this would be taken from him, and Paul asked for thorn to be removed from him. And, you know, these aren't irreverent ways of approaching God, but they're not exactly the most reverent, because we're kind of putting God in a position that he has to answer to us, which is never a good way to go. And then you think about all the priests and the Levitical regulations that they had to go through to approach God, the high priest in particular, where he would bring the once a year sacrifice for all of Israel. But you think about approaching God, and again, peace is often the byproduct of proper behavior and attitude when approaching God. But when we approach God in a very humble way, when we approach him with reverence and with awe, when we approach him fully aware of how really insignificant we are, yet tempered with the awareness of how important we are, that, my friends, is how we receive true peace. The peace that Paul says surpasses all understanding, or transcends all understanding. Coming before God with humility, reverence, and awe, and having that perfect balance of being aware of your insignificance, yet also aware of how much you mean to God and how much he cares for you with everything he is. He loves you with his very fiber, all of his being. God loves you with, he created you. He has put a part of you, a part of him inside of you. And he loves us that much. And we are so important to God. Yet at the same time, we have to temper that with our virtual insignificance when you think about who are we to approach a God. And that's how we get to that point of peace, by getting that proper attitude and behavior and appointing and approaching God. So, am I right, Solomon? Well, let's see what Solomon has to say. Verse 1, chapter 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. I'll stop there, because he just goes right into it. He's talking now. The heading in my Bible in chapter 5 says, stand in awe of God. And it's almost as if Solomon has finally gotten to a point where he realizes that the searches he's gone through so far, you know, are absolutely mean nothing when you consider the reverence of standing in the presence of God. Hey, can I tell you something? When you go to church and you sit down in those chairs, you are sitting in holy chairs on holy ground. I don't care if you're meeting in a strip mall or in a park or a huge 20,000 foot sanctuary, you are in holy ground, because God's presence is in his churches, or at least it's supposed to be. And I have to ask you a question. How is your heart when you go into the church, into these buildings? How do you walk in there? Because if you're like me and you're honest with yourself, we all too often come marching in with an attitude of like, okay, God, I'm here. What do you have for me? And sure, we come to church. We come before God to receive from God, for he is our life and our hope, and in him do we live and move and have our very being. But we go there and we say, God, give. But we should be receiving something a little bit different than what we would typically expect. We should be asking to receive brokenness and humility and reverence, because if we can't bring ourselves to that level when we approach God, then ask God to bring you to that level. Because again, the reverence that we have for God and approaching him is what brings us true peace. And you don't have to come broken every single time. You don't have to come crying or in tears, but you should come humbly and reverently. You should come that way. But if you do not, and let's face it, sometimes we are so caught up in our lives, things that are going on, sometimes we don't come that way. And if we don't come that way, all we're going to receive from God is, well, some of the same stuff that a lot of the people in the Old Testament received, and wasn't exactly the warmest of welcomes. Listen, if you have trouble getting reverent or humble before the Lord, because it's hard sometimes, just remember the things that he's done for you. Because you cannot get from God and not be humbled. Think of the things he's given you. Think of the joy and the blessings of family, and the, you know, if you have food on the table, and think of all the things he's given you. You cannot receive from God and not be humbled. So reflect upon what you have got, because you cannot get things from God. You cannot receive from God and not be broken. It's an inevitable result of God's pouring out to you. Even if all you do is come to God for answers and for gifts, you cannot be the recipient of God's outpouring and not be reverent. So Solomon says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. The next time you approach the doors of your church, take a second before you walk in. Take a quick inventory of your thoughts. You may be surprised at where they are and what is on your mind. Probably you might have to make an adjustment. Solomon says, hey, guard your steps. This isn't a fun house. This is no ritual that you just do to get over with. Take your foolish sacrifices, as he says, and keep them. God would much rather have an obedient child than a sacrificial one. In fact, he says that in 1 Samuel 15:22. God says, Samuel says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You see, God created us in his image, and today people are returning the favor by creating God in our image. So let's get reverent when we go before God. Solomon continues, do not be quick with your mouth, do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. This is an interesting couple of verses that he puts here. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants you to be in church. He just wants you to be there with the right heart. And when he says, don't be quick with your mouth or hasty in your heart, don't be the kind of person that when they go to bow their head, that their mouth opens up the moment their head reaches a certain point in the bowing process. That's not what God's looking for. There's no automatic trigger to your mouth just because your head begins to bow. I heard Plato actually said, wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something. Wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools talk because they have to say something. And that's what Solomon is saying here. He says, before you go to the throne, before you just get before God and just start opening up your mouth, he says, don't be hasty in your heart and utter anything before God. God's in heaven. You are on earth. Let your words be few. The speech of a fool when there are many words. God isn't looking for a long, eloquent prayer from you. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for you to stop for a minute, analyze your heart, seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. The Spirit will give you the words, and that is what you pray back to God. And what is happening there is you are getting words from God. The Spirit formulates them into a prayer. You speak them back to God, and guess what? If you're speaking the word of God, because the Holy Spirit wrote the book, you are now speaking the will of the Lord. You are speaking Jesus, who was the Word, became flesh. So when the Spirit gives you the words that God wrote in the Bible, Jesus is the Word, you pray Jesus back to God. The whole thing is a cycle that is connected. And when Jesus says, if you do anything in my name, it will be done. That is what he's talking about. When you pray in his will, his words. So take a minute next time, formulate the prayer as the Spirit gives it to you, and bring it to God. And remember, stand in awe of God. Well, that's it for today. Again, join us at the Wash and Words in Churchill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. Go to washandword.com for information or call 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. 920-0913. Have a blessed day.